Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're the show that takes stacks of dense research, digs through it all, and pulls out the really key insights for you.
That's the idea. Make the complex understandable.
Exactly. And today, we're going on a bit of a journey to unmask an invisible giant. I mean, a company that's really, in many ways, the unseen architect of our modern connected world.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, think about your everyday life, right? The smartphone you're probably holding, or those incredibly fast supercomputers powering AI, scientific research, everything.
Even military aircraft defense systems.
Right, they're all unbelievably complex. But what are the foundational bits, the often hidden components that actually make all this stuff work seamlessly?
It's a fantastic question, because these really are the unsung heroes, the vital conduits, you could say, enabling pretty much every electronic device and system we rely on.
And that brings us to
Amphenol Corporation, ticker APH, on the New York Stock Exchange. They're a premier global designer, manufacturer, marketer. Basically, they make high-tech interconnects, antennas, sensor solutions.
So the connections, the things that link everything together.
Precisely. They are a critical, absolutely critical, yet often unseen supplier to the entire global electronics industry.
Okay, so our mission today is to really unpack Amphenol, get a handle on their unique business fundamentals, decode how they stay so competitive, explore their the pretty impressive financial strength.
We want to extract those essential insights to help you understand exactly why this company is so pivotal right now, especially in today's tech landscape.
Yeah, we'll explore their secret sauce, if you like, for that consistent operational excellence they seem to have, and how they manage to tap into these incredibly powerful, long-term, secular growth trends that are just fundamentally reshaping everything.
And it's worth saying, as always, we're not giving investment advice here.
Absolutely not. This is about being incredibly well-informed, understanding the landscape.
Right. And to do that, our deep dive today, it's drawn from some pretty comprehensive investment research analysis. This gives us a really thorough, impartial look at Amphenol.
Sticking to the facts, giving you that complete, unbiased picture of their role, their potential.
Exactly.
All right. Let's pull back the curtain then. Segment one. The architecture of connectivity. You use that term, unseen architect, and it feels spot on. What exactly do they do, and why are they called, as the research suggests, the nervous system of electronics?
It's a perfect analogy, honestly. Amphenol really does function as a kind of foundational pillar in the modern digital world. They're a critical enabler of this whole electronics revolution.
Okay.
At its core, their business is about managing the precise, reliable flow of electrical power and high-speed data. Think about any electronic device, right?
It needs power, needs data.
Exactly. It needs power to run, and it needs data to move, usually at incredible speeds, without loss, without interference. Amphenol provides the highly engineered products that make that happen, reliably, efficiently, and often under really demanding conditions.
So we're talking way beyond just a simple wire or, a basic connector.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of products fall under this highly engineered umbrella? Give us a feel for the range.
Oh, far, far more complex. Their product portfolio is vast, incredibly precise. It really forms that intricate nervous system we talked about.
Okay.
It includes everything from electrical, electronic, and fiber optic connectors, those crucial, precise points where circuits connect or devices link up to entire interconnect systems. Those are more complex integrated assemblies.
Right.
They also design and make advanced antennas for wireless comms, a huge array of sensors and sensor-based products gathering critical data from the physical world.
Like temperature, pressure.
All sorts of things. And then highly specialized coaxial and high-speed specialty cables that, ensure signal integrity over distances. These aren't generic parts you pick off a shelf.
No.
They're custom-designed precision components, often unique to a specific customer's application.
Which brings up that idea, again, the products are everywhere, but invisible. Can you give us some concrete examples? Where would we find these components? Because it sounds like they're just woven into the fabric of modern life.
They genuinely are. Woven is a good word. Often in places you wouldn't even think to look.
Right.
Okay, take your smartphone. It's absolutely packed with Amphenol components, making sure every tap, every swipe, every connection just works flawlessly.
Right.
In the automotive sector. From the most basic car to the cutting-edge EVs, their products are essential. High-voltage power delivery for electric vehicles, sensor inputs feeding into ADAS, advanced driver assistance systems.
The stuff like adaptive cruise control, lane keeping. Oh.
Exactly, the brains behind those features. And, increasingly complex in-cabin infotainment systems. Then you jump to highly sophisticated military aircraft.
Yeah.
reliability there in extreme conditions is literally life or death.
Absolutely.
Amphenol provides those ruggedized high-performance solutions. And then, of course, the massive data centers, the ones powering the entire internet, cloud computing, and now especially AI. They are completely reliant on Amphenol's high-speed and high-power interconnects.
Wow.
The sheer breadth of their product line, yeah. It just makes them a strategic go-to supplier because they can offer comprehensive solutions across such diverse needs.
That remarkable diversification you mentioned, it seems absolutely critical. How are they structured operationally to handle all this? Such a vast range of products and markets while keeping that precision focus.
Yeah, that's a key point. And it really speaks to their unique operational model. Structurally, they're organized into three main segments. You've got harsh environment solutions, communication solutions, and interconnect and sensor systems. Right. This setup lets them develop deep, specialized expertise tailored to the unique needs of each market. What you need for a defense application in extreme heat or cold is totally different from what a smartphone needs.
It's really different.
But they still leverage the overall scale and the tech capabilities of the whole corporation. It's a balance between focus and breadth. And looking at their revenue mix for fiscal year 2024, it really drives home that point. Diversification isn't just a buzzword for them, is it?
Not at all.
It's fundamental. It's a core part of their resilience, a deliberate strategy. This remarkable diversification across so many end markets, it's what insulates them from the, you know, the volatility you get in any single industry.
Makes sense.
They found this really clever balance between what we call long cycle markets.
Yeah.
Defense, aerospace, projects that span years, and shorter cycle markets like mobile devices, which are driven more by new product launches, consumer trends.
Right.
This mix provides a remarkably stable platform for consistent growth. Even when economic conditions wobble, their revenue stream holds up incredibly well.
Okay, let's dive into that FY 2024 revenue mix. What's driving the biggest chunks of their business right now? And what does that tell us about where the digital world is headed?
It tells us exactly where the most intense electronification is happening. The two largest segments, each accounting for 24% of their FY 24 sales, they really stand out.
Okay, number one.
First, IT Datacom. This is a massive area right now, just huge, driven by the explosive growth in AI infrastructure. Think about the incredible demand for high-speed, high-power interconnects needed for AI servers, switches, storage systems.
All the hardware behind the AI boom.
Exactly. This segment has seen truly exceptional organic growth. It's a critical driver for them. They're essentially connecting the brains of AI.
Wow. So AI is literally powering their connections. What's the other big 24% segment?
That's industrial, also at 24%. And this is an incredibly broad, diverse market. It covers everything from factory automation, heavy equipment, to critical medical devices and the burgeoning alternative energy sector.
So a lot of different areas.
A ton. The demand here is fundamentally fueled by the increasing electronification and automation of industrial processes. Machines getting smarter, more connected, more reliant on precise electronic control. Amphenol's right there providing the backbone for that transformation.
Okay, so IT Datacom and industrial leading the charge. What's next in line?
Next up at 20% is automotive. This segment is a major beneficiary of two really powerful secular trends. First, the massive shift towards vehicle electrification, you know, the growth of EVs.
Right, electric vehicles.
And second, just the general increase in electronic content in all vehicles, whether they're traditional combustion engines or electric. We're talking ADS, those advanced driver assistance systems making cars safer, smarter.
And the fancy DAF boards and entertainment systems.
And those increasingly sophisticated in-cabin infotainment systems. Exactly. All of that requires robust, reliable, and often high-voltage connectivity. Amphenol's right in the middle of it.
Okay. Defense, you mentioned that's a classic long cycle market. What slice of the pie is that?
Defense accounts for 11% of their sales. This sector is seeing strong, sustained growth. You've got global defense modernization programs, increased military budgets worldwide, and unfortunately, ongoing geopolitical tensions.
Driving demand.
Driving demand for highly reliable, ruggedized solutions. Stuff for military ground vehicles, naval ships, aircraft, where extreme durability and precision are absolutely paramount. Mission critical stuff.
Mobile devices, that's one we can all relate to directly. How much of their business is that?
Mobile devices makes up 9% of their revenue. Here, they supply critical components for everything from your smartphone to tablets, wearables.
Smartwatches, fitness trackers.
All of that. While it is a shorter cycle market, meaning demand can fluctuate more with, say, new iPhone launches, it consistently benefits from new product innovations and just the increasing technological complexity packed into each new gadget.
We're almost through the list. What about commercial aerospace? You mentioned the recovery in air travel.
Commercial aerospace is 6% of their revenue. Growth here is directly tied to the global recovery and expansion of commercial air travel. That leads to increased aircraft production rates.
More planes being built.
Exactly. Yeah. And they provide high-performance, lightweight interconnect solutions, crucial for modern aircraft systems, from the cockpit avionics to the in-flight entertainment you use.
And finally, communication networks. You said that that saw some moderation recently.
Right. Communication networks is the final 6%. This includes products for mobile networks, broadband infrastructure. Demand here is influenced by the global rollout of 5G and the development of next-gen tech, like 6G. Though, yeah, this particular market did experience some moderation in 2023 as some providers sort of tapped the brakes on spending.
That truly highlights incredible diversification, not just by market, but also geographically, right? That seems crucial for a global player like Amphenol.
Oh, absolutely critical. Their global geographic footprint is just as diversified as their end markets, which is key for both managing risk and providing local support to customers.
How does that breakdown look?
In 2023, roughly 35% of their revenue came from the U.S., about 23% from China. And the remaining 42% was spread across other international markets, mainly Asia-Pacific and Europe.
So a real global presence.
Definitely. This extensive global presence lets them provide local, responsive support to their big multinational customers, optimize supply chains, and it also helps spread out any risks associated with, you know, economic or political swings in any single region.
That brings us perfectly to their secret sauce, doesn't it? The Amphenol advantage, which really seems to boil down to their core business model. Tell us about this this fascinating decentralized holding company structure.
Right. Let's really unpack this because it's key. Amphenol's success, its durable competitive advantages, they're deeply rooted in this truly unique and powerful business model. It's centered on a decentralized entrepreneurial culture.
Okay.
Essentially, Amphenol Corporation functions like a holding company for over 100 distinct business units, more than 100.
Yeah.
And what's truly fascinating is that each of these units is led by a general manager who operates with significant autonomy. Mm-hmm. And crucially, they're held directly accountable for their unit's profit and loss, their P&L.
It's like 100 mini companies under one roof.
That's a great way to think about it.
But how does that level of autonomy for so many units actually create a competitive moat? Doesn't it risk becoming, well, chaotic?
It seems counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
But it's precisely how they build that moat. This structure, when managed with discipline, and that's key, fosters an incredible culture of agility.
Meaning
they can respond really quickly to granular market changes, specific customer needs. It also promotes deep customer intimacy because the decision makers, the GMs, are closer to the customers. They understand the specific pain points.
Less bureaucracy.
Way less. And crucially, it enables rapid decision making, which is incredibly difficult for larger, more centralized competitors to replicate. Imagine trying to get a decision through layers and layers of management versus an empowered GM who can just make the call.
That speed advantage is huge.
Huge. Almost uncopyable.
And does that tie into their manufacturing approach as well? Being physically present in approximately 40 countries sounds like a logistical ballet.
It's a direct extension of that decentralized model. Having manufacturing facilities in roughly 40 countries, Americas, Europe, Asia, Australia, Africa, it allows Amphenol to produce products physically close to their customers.
Which saves on shipping, presumably.
It does more than just optimize logistics and reduce shipping costs, though that's part of it. It fosters these deep collaborative relationships. Their product design teams work hand in hand with customer engineering teams, literally sitting down together, sometimes for long periods, to develop highly customized application-specific solutions.
So the solutions are often bespoke?
Very often. Truly bespoke.
And this leads to what you called the design-in model and high switching costs. That sounds like the recipe for incredibly sticky customer relationships.
This is where it gets really sticky. Because Amphenol's components are so specialized and often designed into a customer's product platform from the very earliest stages of development, they become integral, baked in.
Give me an example.
Okay. Imagine a critical connector deep inside a sophisticated server or a specialized sensor in a car's safety system. Once that specific Amphenol component is designed in, rigorously tested, qualified within that system, changing to a different supplier.
Right, Mayor.
It would require a costly, time-consuming, and often risky redesign and requalification process for the customer. This creates exceptionally high switching costs. It's often just far easier and cheaper for customers to stick with Amphenol,
making those relationships incredibly durable long-term.
Extremely durable.
That makes perfect sense. And you mentioned this decentralized structure isn't just a philosophy. It has quantifiable financial resilience. Can you give us an example? How does it play out in the numbers, especially when things get tough?
Absolutely. The data from 2023 is a perfect illustration. It was a challenging year for a lot of companies in electronics. Amphenol saw a 3% organic sales decline, mainly due to weakness in their communications markets.
Okay, so a dip.
A dip. Yeah. Yet despite that headwind, their adjusted operating margin remained remarkably stable. And industry-leading at 20.7%.
Wow, even with sales down.
Even with sales down. And CEO Adam Norwitt explicitly credited their entrepreneurial general managers who were able to quickly adapt and adjust their operations to customer demand.
Ah, so the local leaders could react fast.
Exactly. They understand their specific markets, their cost structures. They can manage inventory, control expenses, reallocate resources with a speed that a top-down centralized command structure just can't match.
So their profitability is less vulnerable to revenue swings.
Precisely. It's inherently less sensitive to revenue volatility, which is a massive qualitative strength that shows up directly in the financial statements.
Okay, so their structure acts like an internal shock absorber. Let's shift gears to the broader industry dynamics. Because this interconnect market, it seems like a massive, almost unavoidable tailwind for Amphenol. How big and critical is this market overall, and what kind of growth are we talking?
Yeah, this raises the question, how foundational is this really, and what's the trajectory? Well, the interconnect industry is vast and fundamentally critical. It truly forms the backbone of the entire electronic sector.
Everything electronic needs connecting.
Pretty much. Its growth is directly tied to the proliferation of electronic devices and the just ever-increasing volume of data being generated, processed, transmitted globally.
What do the numbers say?
Market research underscores this. For instance, the overall connector industry hit shipments of $86.5 billion in 2024. That was a 5.6% increase year over year.
Solid growth.
And it's not slowing down. It's forecast to grow another 7.9% in 2025. Projections even suggest the market could top $100 billion by 2027, maybe even $125 billion by 2030.
That's a sustained multi-decade growth wave.
Exactly. A wave that Amphenol is perfectly positioned to ride.
And within that huge market, are there specific subsegments growing even faster, maybe driving disproportionate demand for Amphenol?
Yes, definitely. Specific pockets are expanding even more rapidly. The RF interconnect market, crucial for wireless stuff, projected to grow at a CAGR, compound annual growth rate, of 7.6% through 2030.
Okay.
The optical interconnect market, essential for high-speed data centers, forecast to grow even faster, like 12.6% CAGR, hitting over $35 billion by 2032.
Wow.
Similarly, the data center interconnect market specifically, expected to expand at a 13.1% CAGR, exceeding $20 billion by 2030, largely driven by cloud computing and, of course, the insatiable needs of AI.
So multiple engines driving growth within the broader market.
Exactly. It provides this powerful, consistent tailwind for industry leaders like Amphenol. Multiple avenues for expansion.
Those numbers are impressive, and this leads us to what you called technology megatrends as demand catalysts. These aren't just cyclical ups and downs, are they? These feel like fundamental, almost irreversible shifts.
That's exactly right. These aren't cyclical swings driven by the economy. They represent fundamental, long-term shifts in technology and society that are driving durable demand for Amphenol's products.
Placing them right at the center of things.
Essentially positioning the company at the epicenter of global technological advancement, making them a foundational player in what's coming next.
Okay, let's start with the big one everyone's talking about. Artificial intelligence, AI, and data center expansion. How directly does that impact Amphenol?
Oh, directly and profoundly. Mm. The commercialization of generative AI has triggered this, well, unprecedented wave of investment in data center infrastructure.
Building the AI factories.
Right. And AI workloads require massive computational power, which means incredibly high-speed data transfer between components, often at densities we haven't seen before.
So faster connections, more connections.
Exactly. This creates immense demand for advanced interconnect solutions, everything from high-speed copper and fiber optic connectors to specialized power connectors, complex thermal management solutions. This trend is, without a doubt, the primary driver of that exceptional growth we saw in Amphenol's IT Datacom segment.
They are literally the arteries and veins of the AI brain.
That's the perfect way to put it.
So AI isn't just about the chips. It's profoundly about connecting those chips. What about 5G and the upcoming 6G deployment?
With the global shift to 5G and looking ahead to 6G, it requires a far denser, more complex network infrastructure. These next-gen networks operate at higher frequencies.
Which means
they need more sophisticated RF interconnects, advanced antennas, high-performance fiber optic solutions to deliver those promised increases in speed, bandwidth, and lower latency.
So Amphenol is building the future wireless backbone.
Absolutely essential for building that out, enabling the pervasive connectivity that just defines modern life now.
The Internet of Things, IoT, that's been a big trend for a while, still a major driver.
Absolutely. The exponential growth of connected devices just keeps going. We're talking everything from industrial sensors and smart factories to smart home appliances, medical wearables, connected vehicles.
Billions and billions of devices.
Each needing robust, reliable connectivity, often in tiny forms. This creates a massive market for a huge variety of connectors, often demanding miniaturized, low-power, highly reliable solutions, all areas where Amphenol excels. Embedding intelligence into everyday objects.
And electric vehicles, EVs, clearly a huge transformation underway there. How does Amphenol fit in beyond just basic wiring?
Oh, this is a truly transformative demand driver for them. EVs require a completely new architecture. High voltage, high power connectors, bus bars, those are the robust strips, distributing power specialized sensors for their massive battery systems, charging infrastructure, electric powertrains.
It's a whole different electrical system.
Totally different. And beyond just EVs, the increasing electronic content in all vehicles driven by 8A, advanced infotainment that's further boosting demand for their automotive solutions. They're fundamentally enabling the shift to a more electric, automated, connected car.
Okay. And finally, defense modernization and commercial aerospace. How do those contribute long term?
Geopolitical tensions globally are, unfortunately, fueling increased defense spending and modernization programs. This directly drives consistent demand for high reliability, ruggedized interconnects. Stuff that can withstand extreme environments and military applications where failure just isn't an option.
Right.
In parallel, the recovery in commercial air travel is boosting aircraft production, which also requires sophisticated, lightweight, durable connectivity solutions for complex aircraft systems.
So steady, long-term drivers.
Consistent long-term drivers providing a stable, predictable base of demand for Amphenol.
Okay, so Amphenol is surfing these massive technology waves. Now let's talk competition. You said the industry is large and fragmented, but Amphenol is top tier. Who are their main rivals? How do they stack up?
Yeah, they're definitely in that top tier. While the industry is fragmented, Amphenol is consistently ranked among the top global players. Some reports even put them potentially second only to Molex in total world connector sales.
Okay, who are the public competitors we can compare them to?
When you look at publicly traded competitors, TE Connectivity ticker TLL is often seen as the closest comparable. But here's where it gets interesting. As of mid-2025, Amphenol had a significantly larger market cap, around $125 billion.
Compared to TE?
Compared to TE Connectivity's $53 billion, despite having similar annual revenues.
Wow, that's a huge gap in market cap for companies with similar revenue. What does that tell you about how the markets use them?
It tells you the market is awarding Amphenol a significant premium. And that's directly reflective of their superior financial metrics and perceived growth trajectory.
Like what?
Well, Amphenol boasts a much higher net profit margin, around 15.6% versus 8.7% for TE Connectivity. That indicates greater operational efficiency, better pricing power.
Makes sense.
And they've consistently shown stronger recent growth, which leads the market to give them a higher PE ratio, price to earnings. Roughly 50 for Amphenol versus 39 for TE Connectivity. These numbers really highlight Amphenol's operational excellence and market leadership.
Okay. And then there's Molex, which is private. Harder to get a read on them.
Molex is definitely a formidable competitor. As a private subsidiary of Koch Industries since 2013, it's harder to get precise financials.
Yeah.
But reports suggest Molex has doubled in size since that acquisition. So they remain a significant, well-capitalized force, especially in automotive, mobile devices, infotech.
Any other significant players?
Sure, there are others. Heroes Electric, JST, CommScope, Belden. It reinforces that it is a competitive industry. Innovation and efficiency are absolutely paramount.
So how does Amphenol maintain its position, even thrive in such a competitive space? What are those durable barriers to entry? Their moats, as you called them.
These barriers are absolutely crucial. They differentiate Amphenol from just being another component supplier. First, there's technical expertise and intellectual property.
Meaning?
Designing and making these high-performance connectors, antennas, sensors, It's highly technical, requires deep expertise in material science, electrical engineering, high-frequency signal integrity, often miniaturization. Many of their advanced designs are protected by patents. That creates a formidable IP barrier.
Not something you can replicate easily.
Not overnight, no. It's built on decades of R&D.
And we already talked about the design in model. Is that one of their strongest moats?
It's arguably their most powerful and enduring moat, high switching costs. We talked about how their products are critical, engineered components designed into a customer's platform early on.
Baked in.
Once integrated into something complex, a server motherboard, an aircraft wiring harness, an EV battery management system, switching suppliers means a complete, costly, extremely time-consuming redesign and requalification.
So customers are locked in, effectively.
It creates incredibly sticky, long-term customer relationships.
Yeah.
Very difficult for competitors to break. And a significant deterrent to new entrants.
That certainly makes sense. What else protects them?
Then you've got capital requirements and economies of scale. Operating a global manufacturing footprint like Amphenol's requires substantial ongoing capital investment.
Yeah.
Facilities, advanced machinery, sophisticated testing gear.
Big upfront costs.
Huge. And large established players like Amphenol benefit significantly from economies of scale. In purchasing raw materials, in production, in R&D, this allows them a cost structure that's very difficult for a new entrant to replicate without massive initial investment and years of optimization.
And finally, just getting access to the market itself must be tough.
Precisely. Access to distribution channels and customer relationships. Incumbents like Amphenol have spent decades building deep, trust-based relationships with the world's leading OEMs, original equipment manufacturers.
Those big names.
The big names. They also have extensive global sales and distribution networks. A new competitor faces the immense challenge of building that credibility, proving reliability, establishing logistics from scratch. It's a high bar.
So given all this, how would you sum up Amphenol's strategic focus? Is it a pure play on something specific?
What's really fascinating is that their strategy is very much a focused pure play on the secular growth trends driving electronics. While some competitors might dabble in broader industrial products or less specialized components, Amphenol's identity, their product portfolio, it's almost exclusively centered on providing that critical nervous system for electronic systems.
So their success is tied directly to...
directly and powerfully correlated with the increasing electronification of the global economy. Every major trend we've discussed, AI, 5G, IoT, EVs, it's fundamentally about increasing the density, speed, complexity of electronic systems.
Which means more need for what Amphenol makes.
Exactly. It translates directly into a greater need for the high-value connectors, sensors, cables they produce, making an investment in Amphenol a highly levered play on these megatrends continuing. They are literally dedicated to enabling that next wave of innovation.
All right, let's turn our attention to the financial pulse of Amphenol, because their performance over the past decade has been, well, pretty impressive. What does their historical track record tell us?
Yeah, the financial data over the last 10 years or so really paints a picture. Consistent growth, industry-leading profitability, robust cash flow generation. This track record through various market cycles, it's a real testament to the strength of their business model and their management discipline. It validates their unique approach.
Can you give us some of those core growth metrics, say 2013 to 2023, and then how did 2024 shape up?
Sure. Over that decade, 2013 to 2023, the company achieved a compound annual growth rate, CGR, in sales of 11%, and an adjusted diluted EPS CGR of 12%.
Beating the market.
Significantly outpacing the broader market, showing a blend of strong organic performance and that steady cadence of strategic acquisitions. And then... this performance really accelerated in 2024. Sales hit a record $15.2 billion. That was a remarkable 21% jump over 2023.
Wow, 21% increase.
And what's truly impressive is that an astounding 13% of that was organic growth, largely driven by that AI boom in their IT datacom market. That's a strong sign of their ability to capture share in high growth areas.
And their margins, you keep highlighting them as industry leading. How consistent are they even in tough times? What does that consistency signal?
What's fascinating is the sheer consistency. Amphenol has consistently maintained these industry leading operating margins, which is rare in manufacturing. Even during that challenging 2023 when some markets were weak, they kept their adjusted operating margin at 20.7%.
Still over 20%.
Then in 2024, with strong sales growth, that margin actually expanded to a record 21.7%.
So they have leverage.
Excellent cost management, operational leverage, and just a deep understanding of their cost structure. It proves they can protect, even expand margins in both tough times and high growth periods. That consistency is a key differentiator and a direct result of that decentralized model.
Beyond margins, how efficient are they with their capital? What do returns on equity and invested capital tell us?
Exceptionally efficient. Their effectiveness in deploying capital shows up in their high returns. As of mid-2025, Amphenol's return on equity, ROE, was a very strong 27.53%.
That's high.
Very high. And a return on invested capital, ROIC, was 15.30%. These figures indicate they generate substantial profits from the capital entrusted to them by shareholders and creditors. Just highlights very effective capital deployment, disciplined investment.
And finally, cash flow. How does their free cash flow generation look? What does that signal about the quality of their earnings?
Yeah, this raises the important question. Do reported profits turn into actual usable cash? For Amphenol, the answer is a resounding yes. They have a proven ability to convert high-quality earnings into robust cash flow.
How much?
The company generated record free cash flow, FCF, of $2.2 billion in both 2023 and 2024. This strong, predictable cash generation gives them that crucial financial flexibility to fund their growth strategy without relying heavily on external financing.
Can you quantify the conversion?
Sure. In 2023, for example, their FCF conversion rate was an exceptional 112%, meaning they converted more than their net income into free cash flow, which is a rare mark of financial health and operational efficiency.
So their growth isn't just organic. You mentioned a multi-pronged strategy, significantly including acquisitions. How do these two drivers work together?
They really work in concert. It forms this powerful growth engine. Amphenol's growth is propelled by a dynamic combination of organic innovation and strategic acquisitions.
Let's start with organic.
Okay, organic growth. It's fueled by their deep commitment to technology leadership, market share gains. By collaborating closely with customers, Amphenol develops what they call enabling technologies, critical for next-gen products, especially in high-growth areas like high-speed data, harsh environments, power management.
And the AI surge is a prime example.
A clear and compelling example of that strategy in action.
And then the acquisitions. You called it a core pillar. How significant is M&A to their long-term growth goals?
Indeed. Mergers and acquisitions, M&A, it's a core, consistently executed pillar of their growth strategy. The company specifically targets M&A to contribute about one-third of its long-term growth. That's a substantial commitment.
Have they been successful?
With a track record of successfully integrating over 50 companies in the last decade, Amphenol has developed this highly repeatable, value-creating playbook for acquiring and growing businesses, often using these acquisitions to expand into new segments or geographies.
And do they use these acquisitions for other things, like cross-selling or expanding existing customer relationships?
Absolutely. They effectively leverage their deep, broad customer relationships to cross-sell a wider range of products from across the whole portfolio. Acquisitions often serve as a strategic beachhead, you know. To enter new geographic markets or introduce Amphenol's existing product lines to a whole new set of customers creates powerful synergistic growth opportunities.
It sounds like a virtuous cycle, a self-reinforcing loop. Can you explain that self-reinforcing cycle a bit more? Because it sounds foundational to their long-term compounding.
It truly is a virtuous loop, a key element of their long-term success. Here's how it works. Amphenol's core business, driven by organic innovation, strong customer relationships, generates substantial, consistent free cash flow.
The cash machine.
Right. This financial strength provides the capital to execute their disciplined yet aggressive acquisition strategy without taking on too much debt. Each acquisition then brings new technologies, new customer relationships, access to new markets.
Like the Carlisle acquisition you mentioned.
Exactly. The acquisition of Carlisle Interconnect Technologies, CIT, significantly bolstered their offerings in high-growth commercial air and defense markets. Then, Amphenol can deploy its global scale, manufacturing expertise, existing customer network to accelerate the growth of these newly acquired businesses.
Creating new organic growth opportunities.
Precisely. Creating fresh avenues for organic expansion. This self-reinforcing, cycle-robust organic cash flow funds strategic acquisitions, which in turn create new platforms for further organic growth. It acts as a powerful, durable, compounding engine for shareholder value, a real testament to their strategy.
That's a powerful model. And it leads us to how they allocate all that capital. What are their priorities? How do they balance growth with returning value to shareholders?
Their management team follows a very disciplined, balanced capital allocation framework. It's been a cornerstone of their long-term value creation. They prioritize three key areas.
Okay, number one.
First, reinvesting in the business, supporting organic growth through capital expenditures, R&D. That's non-negotiable for a tech company.
Makes sense.
Second, pursuing strategic, value-accretive acquisitions to expand their tech capabilities and market reach.
The M&A engine.
Right. And third, consistently returning capital to shareholders through a growing dividend and active share repurchase programs.
And they managed to do all this while keeping the balance sheet strong.
Their ability to maintain a strong balance sheet, low leverage, even with significant M&A activity, really underscores the prudence and foresight of this approach.
Let's really dive into that acquisition strategy. It's so central. You called them an acquirer of choice. What does that mean? And what's the pace and scale of their M&A, especially recently?
Yeah, M&A isn't just a component for Amphenol. It's a core competency, a finely tuned engine. They operate as a highly effective consolidator in this fragmented interconnect industry. That's why they're seen as an acquirer of choice for high-quality, innovative businesses.
What do they look for?
They focus on acquiring companies with strong management teams, complementary technologies that can enhance Amphenol's existing portfolio, provide access to new customers or markets.
And the pace, scale.
Yeah. The pace and scale are indeed significant. Over the last decade, successfully acquired and integrated more than 50 companies. In 2023 alone, they completed 10 acquisitions for about $1 billion combined.
10 in 1 year.
And then, in 2024, they announced two of their largest acquisitions ever, the $2.025 billion purchase of Carlisle Interconnect Technologies and the $2.1 billion acquisition of CommScope's mobile networks businesses.
That's over $4 billion in deals right there, a massive amount of integration work.
Massive.
How do they make that integration model so successful, especially with so many and increasingly large acquisitions? That's typically where M&A goes wrong for a lot of companies.
That's where their decentralized model truly shines. Their integration model is a key reason for their high success rate. Leveraging that structure we discussed, Amphenol typically brings acquired businesses into the family with their existing management teams, brands, processes largely intact.
Less disruption.
Exactly. Minimizes cultural and operational disruption. Allows the acquired entity to benefit from Amphenol's global resources and customer access while retaining its entrepreneurial spirit.
And this M&A serves a dual purpose, you said.
Right. Offensively, it's a powerful growth engine.
Oh.
Defensively, by consistently acquiring smaller innovative companies in a fragmented industry, Amphenol consolidates the market. It prevents disruptive new competitors from emerging, solidifies those high barriers to entry.
And culture fit is key.
They emphasize that cultural fit is a key screening criterion, which helps ensure smoother integration and perpetuates their unique ethos.
So they're growing aggressively through acquisitions and consistently returning capital. Tell us about their dividend policy and share buybacks.
They have a strong, consistent track record of returning capital. Demonstrates confidence in their cash generation. For their dividend policy, they maintain a consistent quarterly cash dividend, and they've shown a firm commitment to growing it over time.
How much growth?
The dividend has grown at an impressive CAGR of 17% over the past 10 years. And in a significant show of confidence, July 2024, the company increased its quarterly dividend by a remarkable 50%.
Wow, 50% hike.
Signals strong belief in future earnings and cash flow.
And beyond the dividend, what about share buybacks? Do they actively use those?
They do. They actively use share buyback programs to supplement the dividend, return excess cash. In 2024, Amphenol returned nearly $1.3 billion to shareholders through dividends and buybacks combined, a balanced approach.
And are they authorized to do more?
To signal continued flexibility and their willingness to buy back shares opportunistically, a new $2.0 billion share repurchase authorization was approved in April 2024.
Despite all this M&A activity, shareholder returns, how do they manage their debt? Do they keep leverage low, especially after those massive recent acquisitions?
They do. It's a testament to their disciplined financial management. Despite the active acquisition strategy, they maintain a conservative leverage profile, a strong balance sheet. Management's clearly committed to keeping leverage within prudent limits.
Even after $4 billion in deals.
Even after announcing those two back-to-back multi-billion dollar deals, credit rating agencies projected their debt-to-EBITDA ratio would remain comfortably below 2.0x. As of mid-2025, their debt-to-equity ratio was a manageable 0.69, a healthy balance.
That sounds incredibly disciplined for a company making such big moves.
Oh,
and how do they fund these deals and maintain such strong liquidity?
They employ a sophisticated approach to debt management, using both U.S. dollar and euro-denominated senior notes to access lower-cost capital, diversify funding sources.
A global approach to financing.
Right. Helps optimize their cost of capital. Furthermore, Amphenol maintains a very strong liquidity position. End of 2023, they had $1.7 billion in cash and short-term investments, plus a large undrawn revolving credit facility of $2.5 billion.
Which they increased.
Which has since been increased to $3.0 billion. This substantial financial flexibility allows management to opportunistically pursue strategic initiatives, big acquisitions, continued shareholder returns without compromising financial health or long-term viability. It's a robust foundation supporting their aggressive growth.
We've talked a lot about numbers, strategy. Let's shift to operational excellence beyond just the financials. How does that global manufacturing footprint, 40 countries, contribute to this excellence and resilience?
This is a critical element. Often overlooked.
Yep.
Amphenol's operational excellence is truly anchored by its expansive, strategically located global manufacturing footprint.
Being close to customers.
With facilities in about 40 countries, they can produce components close to major customers worldwide. This localization strategy is a significant competitive advantage. It doesn't just enhance collaboration during design.
But also.
It dramatically increases supply chain responsiveness and importantly reduces transportation costs and lead times.
And resilience.
The decentralized nature inherently contributes to supply chain resilience. Individual business units likely have more autonomy for localized, redundant sourcing, making the whole enterprise less vulnerable to single-point disruptions. Critical in today's world, it's a key source of competitive advantage.
And the combination of deep customer relationships and technology leadership seems powerful. How do they cultivate those relationships?
It absolutely is the core of their competitive advantage. Amphenol's business model is built on deep collaboration. Their engineers work directly, often for extended periods, with customers to develop highly engineered custom solutions integral to the end product's performance.
The design-in model again?
That design-in model creates those extremely high switching costs, fosters those long-term sticky partnerships. This customer intimacy is then paired with a relentless focus on technology leadership in the areas that really matter for future growth, ensuring they're always at the forefront.
So where are they specifically leading in critical technologies right now? Where's the R&D focus?
They've established themselves as leaders in solutions for high-speed data transmission, mm-hmm. developing the advanced connectors, cable assemblies needed for that exponential data growth from AI, cloud, 5G.
Okay.
Also solutions for harsh environments, engineering ruggedized products that perform reliably under extreme temperature, vibration, pressure, essential for defense, aerospace, industrial markets where failure is not an option.
And power.
And finally, power efficiency. Designing next-gen power products that manage the increasing power demands of modern electronics from data centers to EVs while minimizing energy loss. These are the future-proof technologies.
You've mentioned it before, but it sounds like the Amphenol culture is the real intangible secret ingredient, maybe the ultimate competitive advantage. Can you elaborate? How does it translate into tangible results?
It's consistently cited by management as their most important, durable competitive advantage. And the research seems to back that up. The Amphenol culture is defined by its entrepreneurial spirit. That decentralized network of general managers, empowered with autonomy, but held to a very high standard of accountability for performance.
And this fosters
several key attributes driving success. Agility. Local teams respond to changing conditions, customer needs much faster than a top-down organization. Accountability. Clear P&L responsibility drives a relentless focus on profitability, cost control, and customer centricity. Empowered local teams are closer to customers, leading to deeper relationships, better understanding of unique needs.
So it's not just a feel-good philosophy. It produces tangible results and it's scalable.
Exactly. This operating philosophy isn't just values. It's a tangible system producing superior results, enabling successful M&A execution, driving organic innovation. The model is also inherently scalable and self-selecting. The high autonomy and accountability likely attracts and retains a specific type of entrepreneurial leader who thrives in that environment. When Amphenol acquires a company, they often target firms whose leadership already embodies this ethos, which significantly de-risks integration.
So cultural fit is a key screen in M&A.
Suggests it's a key screening criterion, allowing them to scale their successful operating model by acquiring leaders already aligned with its core principles. Makes the culture itself a durable, scalable asset, a true competitive edge.
It sounds like a remarkably well-oiled machine, almost frictionless. But every company, no matter how strong, faces risks. What are the key risk factors that could potentially impact Amphenol? Their performance, their valuation?
You're right. A thorough analysis needs an objective look at risks. We can break these down into company-specific factors and broader industry or market-wide challenges. No company's immune.
Let's start with company-specific risks. What's top of that list, especially given their aggressive M&A?
Given that heavy reliance on M&A, acquisition integration risk is paramount. Their track record is excellent, yes. But the increasing scale and frequency of acquisitions, especially those recent multi-billion dollar deals for CIT and CommScope's mobile networks businesses, introduce significant execution risk.
What could go wrong?
A failure to successfully integrate such large deals could lead to unanticipated expenses, failure to realize expected synergies, potential impairment of goodwill, which, by the way, stood at a substantial $7.1 billion end of 2023. These are complex undertakings.
What about the threat of rapid technological change in electronics? Could their solutions become obsolete?
That's technology obsolescence. The electronics industry is defined by rapid, relentless technological change. Amphenol's market leadership depends on continually innovating, providing solutions for next-gen applications.
So if they miss a shift?
A failure to anticipate or adapt to a major technological shift, a new interconnect standard, a disruptive material science breakthrough, an unforeseen manufacturing process could genuinely erode their competitive advantage, lead to loss of market share. They have to stay constantly agile.
You mentioned diversification, but are there still concentration risks, maybe with specific customers or regions?
Yes, there's a nuanced risk here, customer and geographic concentration. While highly diversified at the corporate level, individual business units might still depend heavily on a few large OEM customers, particularly in automotive mobile devices.
What's the risk there?
Exposure to pricing pressure, risk of significant revenue decline if a key customer switches or hits a downturn. Furthermore, with 23% of 2023 sales from China, they have substantial exposure to political, economic, trade policy risks associated with that region.
And a subtle one, but potentially profound for a company defined by its unique model, the risk to their culture.
Indeed. Cultural dilution. It's subtle, but profound. Amphenol's unique entrepreneurial culture is the bedrock of its agility, profitability. A major event like a transformative but poorly integrated acquisition forcing more centralization, or a future leadership transition that fails to perpetuate the core philosophy, could fundamentally damage this key competitive advantage.
Which would change the whole investment thesis.
Given how intertwined success is with culture, any erosion would represent a fundamental change, impacting long-term performance.
Moving to broader industry risks, what about cyclical sensitivities? Is Amphenol immune to economic downturns or industry cycles?
No company is entirely immune, including Amphenol. Many key end markets, industrial, automotive, consumer electronics, are inherently cyclical, sensitive to broader macro conditions.
So downturns hit them.
During economic downturns, customers might delay or cut orders, leading to sharp demand declines. The industry is also prone to inventory corrections. Customers rapidly slash component stockpiles, causing temporary but severe order drops. We saw that clearly in communications markets in 2023. Diversification buffers them, but doesn't eliminate these impacts.
And global supply chains. Still under pressure, still a risk.
Absolutely. Supply chain disruptions remain a significant risk. Amphenol's manufacturing depends on a stable global supply of raw materials, copper, gold, plastic resins, plus various electronic components.
What could disrupt that?
Geopolitical events, natural disasters, public health crises, logistical bottlenecks, all can disrupt the supply chain, leading to increased material costs, production delays, inability to meet customer demand, potentially impacting margins and customer service.
What about competitive pressure on pricing and margins? Is the interconnect industry prone to commoditization?
The interconnect industry is intensely competitive. Amphenol faces pressure from large, well-capitalized global competitors like TE Connectivity, Molex, also smaller, agile niche players.
Pushing prices down.
This dynamic can exert downward pressure on pricing and margins, especially for more standardized products. While Amphenol's design-in model helps mitigate this for their highly engineered solutions, it's a constant pressure requiring continuous innovation and cost discipline.
And finally, trade policy and regulatory risks in a global world.
As a global company with significant manufacturing and sales outside the U.S., Amphenol is inherently exposed to the risk of changing trade policies and regulatory risks. Tariffs, export controls, new international agreements.
Plus ESG.
Additionally, increasing environmental regulations, and ESG environmental social governance reporting requirements across various jurisdictions create a growing compliance burden and associated costs, which they must continuously navigate.
That's a comprehensive look at risks. Now let's move to valuation. You've mentioned Amphenol consistently trades at a premium. Why is that? What are the key metrics telling us?
Right. Amphenol's valuation consistently reflects its status as a high-quality, high-growth leader in the electronics components industry. It typically trades at a premium to peers and its own historical averages. That's a critical fact investors need to consider.
What specific metrics show this premium, especially compared to history or competitors?
Okay, as of mid-2025, Amphenol's trailing 12-month TTM, price-to-earnings, PE ratio, was around 48 to 50.
Compared to historical.
That's a significant premium to its 10-year historical average PE of about 28. It's also notably higher than its closest public competitor, TE Connectivity, which traded around 39.
Other metrics show this too.
Yeah, this premium is evident elsewhere. Amphenol's TTM price-to-sales PS ratio is about 7.4. Its enterprise value to EBITDA, EBITDA ratio, is around 29.3. All these figures are elevated compared to historical norms and many industry peers, signals strong market expectations.
So the market is clearly willing to pay more for Amphenol. What's the fundamental justification for this premium beyond just the high numbers?
The market's willingness to award this premium is rooted in their superior financial performance and robust growth prospects. First, their superior growth profile. Amphenol has consistently delivered higher revenue and earnings growth than many peers, especially with strong leverage to secular megatrends like AI, resulting in exceptional recent organic growth.
Any scores reflect that?
Yeah, one analysis gives Amphenol a very strong growth score of 87 compared to an average 47 for TE Connectivity. They're truly capturing growth opportunities.
And their profitability clearly plays a significant role here. Right?
Absolutely. Second, higher profitability. Their industry-leading operating and net margins are a clear testament to operational efficiency, pricing power, disciplined cost control. That TTM net margin over 15%, substantially higher than many competitors, indicates a more profitable business model. Third, quality of earnings and FCF generation. Stellar track record converting accounting profits into free cash flow. High FCF conversion shows high quality earnings, provides tangible cash to fund growth, shareholder returns without external reliance. And fourth, proven M&A value creation. The market seems to be pricing in continued successful M&A. Anticipating future acquisitions will keep driving value creation, strengthening their market position.
Given the cyclical nature of some markets, how important is a through-cycle perspective when assessing valuation rather than just a snapshot?
Oh, it's crucial. Relying on valuation multiples based solely on peak or trough earnings can be highly misleading in cyclical industries. A more robust approach considers the stability of profitability and cash flow across an entire economic cycle.
And for Amphenol?
Amphenol's ability to consistently maintain adjusted operating margins above 20%, even during weak periods, provides a strong anchor for its valuation. Suggests its normalized, through-cycle earnings power is exceptionally high and resilient, which helps support a premium valuation even when near-term conditions might be challenging. It smooths out the peaks and troughs.
But at current levels, with those high multiples, does that imply sensitivity? What's the margin for error the market is currently pricing in?
Yeah, this raises the important question, what exactly is priced in at these levels? The current elevated valuation reflects a market pricing in near-perfect execution on multiple fronts. The significant expansion of their PE multiple, well above historical average, coincided directly with the explosion of the AI investment narrative.
So the market sees them as a key AI play.
Clearly identifying Amphenol as a primary, critical beneficiary of the massive AI infrastructure build-out. This implies the stock's valuation is highly sensitive to that trend continuing, meaning any signs of a slowdown in AI-related capital spending by the hyperscalers, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, or any significant misstep integrating those large CIT and CommScope acquisitions could trigger a sharp contraction in its valuation multiple. The current premium, simply put, leaves very little margin for error.
Okay, let's synthesize all this. First, margin sustainability. How durable are Amphenol's margins, despite those underlying commoditization pressures in parts of the electronics industry?
Amphenol's ability to sustain, even expand, its industry-leading margins seems quite durable. And it's not by avoiding commoditization entirely, but by cleverly managing it.
How?
Key drivers are that decentralized entrepreneurial model fostering extreme cost discipline, agility at the business unit level, and their strategic focus on highly engineered, application-specific solutions. By collaborating deeply with customers on next-gen platforms in high-growth areas like AI, EVs, Amphenol creates products with significant IP and those high switching costs.
Commanding premium pricing.
Right. Which command premium pricing and insulated from the commoditization affecting more standard components. They differentiate through customization and critical function.
What's the...
Management has demonstrated a highly effective, repeatable playbook for M&A. That track record, over 50 successful acquisitions last decade, is testament to their ability to identify strategic fits, acquire at reasonable valuations, integrate smoothly into their decentralized structure.
The challenge now.
The primary challenge moving forward, as you say, is the increasing scale. Those recent multi-billion dollar deals introduce a new level of integration complexity and risk. That will certainly be a key test of management's capabilities. It's an ongoing high-stakes test.
What competitive threats could materially impact their market share, and how do their moats protect against those?
Primary threats come from two sources. First, large, well-capitalized global competitors, TE Connectivity, Molex, competing directly across many key markets. Second, the threat of technological disruption, always present.
A new standard they miss.
Right. A new interconnect tech, or standard Amphenol, fails to embrace, could let a competitor gain significant advantage. However, these threats are substantially mitigated by Amphenol's key moats: entrenched customer relationships with high switching costs, vast scale, and that proactive M&A strategy, which often serves to acquire potential tech threats before they mature or become widespread rivals.
And how sensitive is their business model to broader economic cycles? Inventory adjustments. Is that diversification truly a strong shield?
The business model exhibits a blended sensitivity. Significant diversification across end markets with different cycle lengths, long cycle defense versus short cycle mobile, provides a substantial buffer against downturns in any single market.
But not immune.
Not immune to a broad-based global recession, which would impact demand across most cyclical markets like industrial, automotive, consumer. The business is also highly sensitive to inventory adjustments by customers. Can cause short-term order volatility, sometimes more pronounced than the underlying change in end-user demand. So diversification helps, but not complete immunity.
Finally, considering all this, what's the optimal valuation framework for Amphenol, given its unique characteristics, diversified exposure?
Optimal framework is that of a high-quality secular compounder. While relative valuation metrics like PE, EBITDA, are useful for peer comparison, they must be contextualized by Amphenol's consistently superior growth, profitability, ROIC, all justifying a persistent valuation premium.
Other tools?
A discounted cash flow, DCF, analysis would be highly relevant given their strong, predictable free cash flow generation. Furthermore, analyzing valuation on a through-cycle basis using normalized earnings or FCF yield is critical to avoid being misled by cyclical peaks or troughs. Provides a truer picture of inherent value.
So bringing it all together, what's the final thesis for Amphenol, this unseen architect of our connected world?
Amphenol Corporation truly represents a premier vehicle for gaining exposure to that powerful long-term secular trend, the electronification of the global economy. Its investment merits are built on a foundation of clear, durable competitive advantages, proven resilient across cycles.
And what are those non-negotiable key strengths that define them?
Primary strength, that unique, decentralized entrepreneurial culture. This operating model fosters agility, accountability, customer centricity, driving superior operational execution, margin resilience, allows them to thrive through all economic phases.
Complemented by?
Powerfully complemented by a disciplined, highly effective capital allocation strategy, where a world-class M&A engine, fueled by strong organic FCF, consolidates a fragmented industry, continuously enhances tech capabilities. And, of course, their diversified portfolio of mission-critical, highly engineered products positions them as a key enabler of the most significant tech megatrends. AI, EVs, 5G, 6G, defense modernization, essential to the future of connectivity.
What are the primary risk factors to keep firmly in mind?
The investment isn't without significant risks. Careful consideration needed. Valuation is currently elevated, trading at a substantial premium to historical averages. This valuation appears to price in continuation of that powerful AI infrastructure tailwind and flawless execution on recent large-scale acquisitions. Leaves little room for error.
Most salient risks.
A potential slowdown in the AI investment cycle impacting their fastest-growing segment. Substantial integration challenges with those large, complex CIT and CommScope acquisitions. And persistent geopolitical trade policy risks from significant operational and sales exposure to China. Important variables to monitor.
So in conclusion, what should listeners take away about Amphenol, the silent powerhouse?
Amphenol is truly a best-in-class operator, proven model for long-term value creation. Their ability to compound growth, generate high returns on capital is exceptional, marks them as a formidable player in global tech.
The central question.
The central question for anyone interested is indeed valuation, whether the current premium is justified. An investment at current levels is a bet that those powerful secular tailwinds from AI, other megatrends, will continue unabated, and that management will continue executing its proven strategy with the same high degree of success shown for over a decade.
What key metrics should listeners closely monitor if they want to keep an eye on Amphenol's continued trajectory?
They should closely watch organic revenue growth in IT datacom, currently their most dynamic area. Pay close attention to margin performance and successful integration of recent large acquisitions, critical for maintaining profitability. Look at the stability of overall corporate operating margins and their continued ability to convert high-quality earnings into robust free cash flow. These metrics provide the clearest picture of ongoing operational health, strategic success.
And that wraps up our deep dive into Amphenol Corporation. We started by acknowledging the incredible complexity of our modern world, and hopefully now you have a much clearer understanding of how a company you might not have even heard of before is fundamentally shaping the electronic world around us, enabling the very fabric of our digital existence.
That's the goal. Their unique business model, relentless innovation, strategic acquisitions allow Amphenol to quietly power some of the most exciting technological transformations of our time. They are truly an unseen architect, building the unseen connections that make our increasingly complex, connected world possible.
So here's a thought for you to mull over. Next time you pick up your connected device, or you read about the latest AI breakthrough, or even when you see an electric vehicle silently drive by, remember Amphenol. What unseen components in your daily life are truly enabling the next wave of innovation? And how many of them could trace their lineage back to a company like Amphenol, the silent architect of our increasingly connected world?